Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. How's everybody?
Great.
I was listening to another podcast where they did this, and they're just, people are just so awkward when they're like, I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. We're good. Yeah, I'm good.
Does everybody ask how are
you? Yeah.
Doing all right. Okay. Some people know this, but like over the week before Easter, I had like some dots on my head that I thought was a spider bite. It turns out I'm just old and had shingles, and I just had the terrible headache, like terrible because it was all in my head. And I feel like that is finally dissipating. So
that's good.
Yeah. I feel like I'm human again.
I had a really exhausting weekend this weekend because I flew to a wedding in Nashville, flew out Friday.
Wow.
Actually had an executive committee meeting via Zoom while I was in the airport.
Wow.
Then went to the wedding rehearsal, stayed the night in a Hampton Inn, and then had the wedding in the morning, and then flew back so I could preach on Sunday.
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, had a thing in Pensacola that night.
Just busy times. So we had family night
We're pre-recording this, so I'm just feeling exhausted.
I'm sure you are exhausted.
Yeah, we had the Emerald Coast Mud Run with Heart of the Bride.
Yeah.
Our church was a sponsor, so I was there Saturday morning.
And, you also had the daddy-daughter thing on Friday night.
That's right. We were making crafts and dancing with Joanna.
And the stars.
The moms and sons were doing whatever
Earth
they did.
Things
They always get to blow things up and shoot each other, which is great.
That's fun. Well, today's topic, we are talking about AI and the church.
Alan Iverson?
So, nope, not really sure who that is.
That's funny.
So it's kind of a fun topic.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people kind of like don't know what to say about it sometimes, but we're using it. We were using it before.
Just ask ChatGPT to find out what to say about it.
That's right.
What
exactly.
do I say about AI?
Speaking of which, did you guys do the whole ChatGPT roast my Easter pick?
Absolutely.
That was very funny. I cracked up at some of the things it said about our family picture. If you don't know, there was you could upload your Easter picture to ChatGPT, and you can do this with really any picture, and just say, "Hey, roast my Easter picture," or roast whatever. And man, it had some things to say about the Wyatts. It was funny.
Tell us.
Yeah, what did
it
say?
Well, you know, you could do like the first version, then it would be like, "Do you want a spicier version?" Both versions commented on Josiah's height.
Really?
Yeah, okay. The best one was like, you look like you're trying to convince everyone you didn't just wake up from a four-hour nap and try to fit yourself into this picture. You look like a human Jenga piece or something.
Human Jenga piece.
I know, it was kind of savage.
Oh, my goodness.
Both of them talked about like how Christy was holding it all together. I was like, that's true.
I really think it was – I think a lot of
they're
them were
very
that.
Template.
Female,
there's kind of a template they followed.
Yeah. The best line from ours was about Ezra. For those of you who know him, you'll appreciate this. It says of smiley dude in stripes who's front and center, 10 out of 10 on charisma. This kid's smile is so powerful, it's clearly holding the entire family dynamic together. If Easter had a mayor, it's him. It's like, that's so true.
Ezra,
like, he's just
mayor.
There for the good times.
That's
like,
true.
He's just there. Wherever he is, there's a party. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What did yours say, James?
Well, you guys might find after doing that and seeing it, and it wasn't too bad. You know, it did say I looked like I was trying to figure out which of our kids were mine. Which I'm like, that's kind of offensive.
Yeah.
How did you know?
And it really read, it said that Stephen, you know, he runs the family.
Okay.
But I actually took the picture that you guys posted on social media of me preaching.
Uh-huh.
And this is what it said about me. This man really stepped onto the pulpit like he's about to drop both scripture and a mixtape. Got the Holy Trinity of fashion going, blazer, button up, and Converse, which I'm offended by because they're Jordan 3s I was wearing on Sunday, last Sunday. My guy looks like he got halfway dressed for a business meeting, tripped into the youth group night, and just rolled with it. It did also make fun of our church's lighting.
Oh,
Grace, it looked like the Lord himself is about to hit the stage behind him for a dramatic entrance.
Woo, yeah.
Is it just me or does that podium scream, this PowerPoint has at least 43 slides?
That's funny.
Man.
I like the trip into youth group. That's kind of a compliment because it's saying you look professional yet edgy. Young.
Yeah, thanks,
so
man.
That's good.
Yeah, I guess I'll take that.
And thanks. I mean, and your sermons sometimes are a little bit of a mixtape with your quotes from some.
That's true.
So it's good.
Yeah.
It's also
mixed
listening.
Bag. I've heard mixed bag
mixed
from
bag.
Some people.
Mixed
tonight.
Bag. Oh,
what about you? Did your family get
roasted? Yeah, well, for sure. I think my favorite was Chris's because it says he right now he's wearing his hair like really.
His hair is very tall right now.
She's already
Johnny Bravo. Tall.
But it said something that he just finished filming a commercial for beard oil and oil and emotional stability. I didn't know where the emotional stability part came from.
That's funny.
But it just made me laugh. And then all
it's been listening to your conversations.
It didn't say he was two giraffes deep in a lake or whatever.
No,
that
it did not. Oh, okay. It did not use any of those phrases. So that
I got to get
fun.
The correct phrase from Chris Brown on that.
Yeah, that's
one.
Right.
I was scared to do the meaner version, but I'm sure.
Like, bring it. I texted it all to our kids, and they thought it was hilarious. Eliza came like crying out of her room, like laughter, not out of meanness, but she just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
she came crying.
She was just cracking up, like it was hilarious.
Well, there's a lot of funny things about AI, but we also have some skepticism around.
Yeah.
So a lot of Christians are kind of. I think they're more generally skeptical of just technology.
Technology.
Like when I was younger, first it was like the TV.
Yeah.
And then it was maybe not the TV, but kind of. And then
the
internet, and now it's AI. So why is that, I wonder?
It all goes back to the Left Behind series.
I'm crazy. It is probably good that we're cautious of new things.
I mean, I think there's a healthy level of caution, and then there's
of any new thing.
Yeah,
right?
Of any new thing, like let's wait and see. But also, Christians maybe want to should try to be on the forefront of trying to understand rather than immediately
of trying
critical.
To understand, not necessarily embracing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, amongst Christians in general, there's usually a skepticism of authority that's not. Or something that appears to be authoritative that's not God, which is that's not a bad thing, you know?
That kind of sounded like you were beatboxing for a second.
I just kind of had a hiccup.
Yeah.
I was like,
ugh. Okay.
I think, we're just more of a skeptical people in general, especially, I mean, I think COVID has done a number on people in terms of skepticism. Mm-hmm. And I think we can't ignore that in terms of our psyche and how we view the world.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think at least in America, a lot of conservatives feel like the thought leaders in these sectors are more liberal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they're skeptical of what agenda is trying to be pushed through these mediums.
True.
You go back to the whole school curriculum thing. And so I think it's tied to that as well. But I do think, again, there is some like healthiness in that, just it can go too far.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where we sound like Bobby Boucher's mother. Football's the devil, you know, all that.
That's
so. Right. Yeah, the devil.
Okay. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about this. They were actually, I think, speaking to like another somebody that was in ministry, and they were talking about AI kind of replacing people in relationships and emotional support and things like that, just with questions and things that you can answer or ask it, and you know, looking for advice and people like using that as a crutch and not reaching out to human
people
and being relationships with, you know, solid Christians and things like that. So I can see that, you know, we're already becoming more isolated, and it's kind of another way that we could continue to do that if we're not careful. So I think it's just one way to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a lot of advantages, a lot of great things. What do you think about?
Yeah, I mean, there can be advantages. And before we say that, too, I think maybe part of the skepticism is that, like, we recognize that artificial intelligence is that.
It's artificial.
It is.
It ain't real.
It is right. It ain't real. It is synthesizing.
It ain't real intelligence.
That's right. But it is synthesizing information that it's being fed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the root of the skepticism is.
It's a good level 5 word there.
That's right. Yeah. Like, who is pulling the levers of how it's being fed? How
do you think there's a real lever?
That's a lever. I am motioning. I can't even talk. I am motioning lever pulling.
Is this a Wizard of Oz?
That's right. Oh, we did just watch Wicked this past week for the first time, so I am kind of thinking that. But there, who's behind the curtain? You know,
I think
who's feeding information? What information is it? Is it then going to produce? And I think that is in and of itself a danger when we talk about Christianity, because ultimately it is going to be a synthesis of what it's being fed. And so if you were to approach AI or ChatGPT looking for a definitive Christian answer, well, what version of Christianity is it going to give you?
Right.
Is it going to give you the ultra liberal or the ultra conservative or really universalistic, you know, answer? I think that's part of the skepticism is where is it anchored in reality? for us to approach. So I think in terms of the advantages, it can make us more efficient in some mm-hmm. ways. I think a disadvantage of that is that it can make us dumber.
Yeah.
Honestly, is we're not using critical skills. I mean, there are pastors who are, you know, will use, who can. You can use AI to write a sermon if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. You could, hey, ChatGPT, write me a sermon on Romans chapter 5 and 6 for Good Friday, for Easter, and make
with
it
the rhetoric of Rev Run.
Yeah, I mean, that's
right,
what's crazy.
Right, the tone,
yeah, true.
Yeah, and it will pull this information. Yeah. So that's not helping anyone, mm-hmm. except expediency for that pastor in a moment. But ultimately, that's not really helping that pastor. I think it can refine us. I think when we have used it, some of our staff have used it when we've had created a document, and we're like, hey, we need to actually, like, reduce the number of words in there. Hey, mm-hmm. can you summarize this?
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. I sent you our big long book of history to like pull out the main points, and you like used it to like, hey, give me the main points of this, and it did a great job. Like, mm-hmm. saved a lot of time. Now we still have to go back through that and make sure we didn't miss anything, but it certainly can be useful for those things. Mm-hmm. I do think it can become a huge crutch for people and inhibit your actual growth. An mm-hmm. inability, you know, if we're using it to write our emails for us and then we're copying and pasting it, that's not good.
Right.
If we're using it to create all of our content, that's not good mm-hmm. because we're not using the gifts that God's given us.
Yeah.
Will it automatically include the attachments? Because if so, I might start using it. More.
That's right.
I still forget attachments sometimes.
Thankfully, Outlook.
Google's like,
you said
didn't
that
include your attachment.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's, I think that you're right. It can definitely be useful and helpful, but it still is not without error, and that we still have to use human,
right.
You know, to weed through things, and even like you said, like God has gifted us in those things, and using those gifts mm-hmm. too, it's super important.
I would just say it's an issue. The root of the issue of the concerns and advantages are the same that have been around
mm-hmm.
for ages. It's just getting. Keeps multiplying the impact of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how efficient it can help you be, but also how much it could lead you astray just keeps getting multiplied.
Yeah, I mean, I think a concern would be for a Christian, and I'll use my kids as an example, like if they're doing homework and they're like, oh, I can just ChatGPT the answer to this. I'm like, well, are you really learning it? Are you just getting the answer? And even if you're not thinking critically, are you just going to accept this answer? And, you know, we believe – you know, we want people to study the Word of God for mm-hmm. themselves and believe that the Holy Spirit will work in them and through that to come to understanding. We are not, I mean, you say this in the pulpit, so this isn't me putting words in you. You don't need James to interpret the Bible for you. Now,
correct.
Is he a great pastor? Does he help us in all of that? Yes. But
I thought you were going to say maybe.
maybe. Sometimes.
I thought you were going to say maybe
I should have taken that opportunity.
Well, you know how you might be like, maybe that is, but
right.
I thought you were going to say that. And I was like,
no, definitively yes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate your kind words.
But I think,
God's
like,
good.
If we're doing that with chat, are we going to think critically about the answers we get? Like if you're going to take it as truth, you know, just for, okay, I trust it because it's pulling goes back to who's pulling the levers, and I'm making the motion again. Who is pulling the lever behind mm-hmm. that? I mean, we've got to be critical thinkers, and are we just regurgitating information? And I just don't, that's my main concern in all of this is that, yes, there's the piece of human interaction, and I think you could look at like along the lines of, hey, when COVID, when we had to, you know, go online for church, and then people were like, "There, online church is a valuable tool, but it cannot replace the value of being mm-hmm. together." Mm-hmm. So, AI is a valuable be a valuable tool, but it cannot replace the human interaction, and ultimately, the Imago Dei. God gave us a brain mm-hmm. to use critically in His image. Yeah. So,
side note. I have seen a couple of things about this with AI. For all of our environmentalists out there, the amount of energy that AI takes, I guess, is just an extreme
amount. Oh, I had never thought about that.
Of electricity, like, because it's such a complex system. So one of my very good friends, her husband is an electrical engineer, and I asked him about this, and he said that they are actually building nuclear plants to help.
Goodness, I
because of the amount of energy that it's taking to run something. So there was just like funny memes about like when you ask it to. I don't know if you guys saw some of the trends where it was like making people into superheroes or figures or whatever. Figures, it was like you just killed a forest basically with the amount of energy that it took for it to do that. So I mean, I've never thought about that. But you know, just other things. That's not my world, and I don't know a lot about it, but.
I will tell you, whoever's pulling the lever, and you guys need to try this too afterwards. I asked it, ChatGPT, what church should I go to in Niceville? Number one answer was Church on Bay Shore. Number two, Cross Point. Number three, Holy Name.
Catholic Church. It said that.
So I'm like, this is kind of random three, lever? But yeah, maybe I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Interesting. What's
I'm curious if it says Church on Bay Shore for everybody.
Yeah.
If so, keep saying that.
Yeah, that's right. Keep saying it over and over.
Maybe I'm pulling the lever.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Well, we're going to move on to a couple of questions, some things going on in our world.
I do feel like I need to say, I have used ChatGPT to say like, hey, what's a good illustration and history of this concept?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, in sermon writing, I haven't used ChatGPT. Yeah. But I do know people
You don't write your sermons with ChatGPT. Right.
No, I do know people are asking how to word things
and
all that.
Mm-hmm. I did that writing a paper. I'm in seminary now, like working on my doctorate, they're very adamant about, you know, we have tools. We can, with 99.9% accuracy, tell if you've used AI to write a paper and you will be immediately kicked out of school. But I was stuck on one sentence that I got feedback from, and I could not figure out a way to word it that was not passive voice. And so I was like, I know, right?
I don't miss those days. I don't miss those days.
I copied that. The sentence ended. I was like, make this not passive, please. And then it did. And I was like, oh. But I did learn. I was like, oh. Yeah. And then I was able. That's right.
And so make this not passive. Right.
Do it now, chat. But then I was able to see the wording and the syntax of how they did it. And then on my own, do that for a couple more sentences in my paper. So
that
was helpful.
Yeah, it's great. I've used it even to like compare products. If we were like, there was like an editing tool, and you know, which one's best for small team?
Yeah,
this much money, those kind of things, and it's just faster than
Google.
You know, Google. Yeah. So yeah, definitely some advantages, but some things to be cautious of for sure in the long run. And I'm sure as it evolves and changes, that our understanding of it and how it can help us or be detrimental to us will also change as well. So going on, last week the Pope died.
You were trying to say that in a way that
I was trying to like his name, and I'm like, it doesn't have his name, just
Francis, right?
Okay.
Yes.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So he passed away, and how do we like do we mourn that? How do we process
about that
those kind
as
of things?
As non-Catholics, yeah. I guess is probably what they're asking. Yeah.
I mean, we shouldn't ever be happy someone died.
Right.
Yeah. So, there are, like, Protestants who are, like, take that opportunity to, like, prove a point about the Pope. I'm like, that's not the moment.
Really?
The moment.
Yeah. I mean, immediately saw a few people, celebrity, just quote-unquote, like, or people who want to be celebrity Christians, post, like, he's standing before the Lord condemned because, and they were making much more of a stance about Catholicism in general than they were about the Pope, and wrong time.
It's just not the moment.
If
somebody
it's just terrible.
If somebody's dying, you know, that's not the moment for me to be like, hey, remember that one time you made the comment about the song at our church? Like, that's not, you know, it's just not the moment. And so we mourn with those who mourn. It should make believers sad that their friends and people they know are sad. I do think as Christians who believe the Bible, sola scriptura, that it is the authority for which we view faith, not the church, which Catholics believe you read scripture in light of the church. I do think we are concerned with whether or not Pope Francis had saving faith based on what he adhered to. I think Christians, Protestant Christians, should be very troubled by the teachings of the Catholic Church. That doesn't mean that there aren't Catholics who believe in the gospel,
but
it is hard to understand how they can continue to teach the things they do. So I think I've probably said enough without spending three episodes on that, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's, you can nuance it more, but what good, I mean, I agree with what you said. I mean, it's just not the time, and we don't know what we don't know, and that's that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So our next question, my friend's church celebrated a huge number of professions of faith. I'm skeptical, but they are joyous about it. Let me
give you the context of that question since I was asked. Mm-hmm. On Easter specifically, but all the time, you know, churches are like, we had 973 people give their life to Jesus today, right? Or, you know, 433 or whatever. Yeah. You know, even when we had the jail ministry and we said there's 13 professions of faith, that was involved in this conversation. So they're like, but the number of people that get saved there, and the church has been fast growing, but not anywhere near the number they're saying is getting saved. So, like, I'm just going to say if the church had 100 and then in 2025 they celebrated 100 people giving their life to Christ, but then the next year they only run a 120.
Yeah, where are
they? In 2026 they're celebrating 500 people who gave their life to Christ, but they're only running 180.
Yeah.
You know, or you can multiply those numbers. Like, how should we feel about that? That's the context of that question.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think, one, we're naturally, I think, just where we are in history, most of us are naturally cynical to some level.
ChatGPT.
That's right. Help me. Goodness gracious, what is happening?
Cynical, you said, or skeptical?
Cynical. There is a difference in those. I would say skeptical. Yeah, I should correct that to skeptical. Some are
ChatGPT
definitely
told me
cynical.
To tell you that.
Thanks. It deciphered what I was trying to say that I couldn't get out of my mind. So I do think we have to recognize
the dots
a
were actually
bit of
not
skepticism.
Shingles. They were a ChatGPT chip.
That's right. It's a chip, guys. So I don't know that all – I think we should always be a little skeptical because we want to be – to ensure that we are – doing due diligence, even as pastors, like we have to operate that way. I do think there is often overinflation of numbers because due diligence isn't done. I think we remain a little bit like, hey, we'll see the fruit.
Yeah.
I mean, we're even that way. I mean, you truthfully, like, let's just use our own church as an example. I mean, we, before anyone's baptized, they meet with a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
We ask them to articulate the gospel because we're trying to make sure that anyone who's baptized here can at least, I mean, that they, to the best of our ability, like, as much as we can discern the heart and motives, like, that they're regenerate, that they're saved based on their confession.
Right.
But we still don't know what's in someone's heart.
That's right.
We still don't know that, like, in 2 years later, they're going to we don't know. So when do you do that?
Right.
So, I mean, we just try to be probably, I wouldn't say overly, we try to be cautious in that from our Christological approach.
Yeah, I'll say this pretty definitively. The number of people you saw got saved on Instagram is not true.
Yeah.
And a lot of pastors are just, first of all, profession of faith in that matter wasn't something that happened in the Bible. Without, you know, baptism was the public profession of faith. And then secondly, the altar call, the way we see the altar call was, that's only like 150 years old. So that also wasn't something. I do think that, you know, there is an important opportunity to respond, invite people to respond to the gospel on Sundays. But I just think numbers alone show you that the fruit is not there. I think the tactic is manipulative. I'm not saying deliberately manipulative, but I do think it is something people have learned. And I think that there is a responsibility of pastors to not give people false assurance, and that those of us who are being misleading with baptism or any of those practices, that we will stand account for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't as a church be more evangelistic, and I am praying about that, and we've talked about that. But the truth is, I do think a lot of that is rooted in hype. And you know, even at our church, I feel like if we just started doing that, a lot of people would be like, that's amazing, without really giving question to it.
Yeah, being critical.
So,
and I think you said it earlier, and you alluded to it, just – that it doesn't, you know, it's their fruit too that you start to see, and it would be interesting to see, you know, if they track those numbers in discipleship and how
some do.
That changed.
Some do.
And even that is hard to see because, like you guys are saying, it's, you know, someone's heart. We don't know it, but
Well, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, our discipleship MLT created this new believers pathway, where we have a process that we, if someone wants to, after they're baptized, we can have someone who can walk with them, you know, to disciple them one on one, not just in life group, but beyond that, to teach them and help them, because we don't want to see that. We want to see people grow in their faith. I mean, I would say, like, along these lines, like the pastors that give us reporting from our pastors that we support in India, they actually have categories. Like they talk about the numbers of times that they, in their reporting to us, and their accountability, the number of times they've shared the gospel, they actually track professions of faith and baptism separate. And they actually view baptisms more as the, this person is actually a Christian.
Yeah, right.
Because culturally, it means something, it doesn't mean biblically something different, but culturally it is more significant there because it is after, like, they're in, because it is definitely a severing way of life from culturally, inviting persecution, walking away from families. And so they actually track those things separately and really view that number as the church.
Yeah. And I would say to pastors, I know we have some pastors that listen to this, some friends of pastors, like, if you are inviting people to respond and they are indicating they want to follow Jesus and they don't stick with it, that isn't on you, because we see that happen at Jesus, right? Like, people are following Jesus and then they turn away.
Yeah.
And like, they were never really, he was really never Lord, you know? And so, and I don't think,
the rocky soil.
I mean, he's like, this is my body, this is my blood. And people are like, peace out.
That's right. They're like, huh?
This and then he turns to the disciples. Are you going to leave too? You know? So anyway,
that's good.
So are we going to, another question I had?
Yeah, this is a serious one.
Well, not this one, the next one.
Okay.
Will we be doing any more book reviews anytime soon?
Sure. If you've got a book you want us to review, we can see if we've read it.
His face, he's like.
I don't have
I'm
time
reading
to read
Catholicity Matters right now by Jonathan Lehman. And
All right, so maybe a review on that one.
Yeah, nobody will be interested in that one at all. But.
Well,
yeah,
and the last very serious question is, how long, Justin, will you be keeping your stash?
Keep the money? I have no idea.
I missed the greatest opportunity for a joke the other day.
Oh, yeah?
We were talking about the gym service, you know, which went really well for Easter.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And we were talking about, like, how we'll brand that if we, like, have to do it. And we were like, I kept saying, like, cafe service, like, more chill. I was thinking, when you lead worship in there, you could do a soul patch right here.
Oh, gosh. A soul patch.
You'd be like, hey, guys.
What's up, guys?
You know.
Where's
Daddy God?
Daddy God.
Doesn't that make you feel
dirty? Yeah, it
actually
makes my stomach, like, turn whenever I hear it.
Yes. I have no idea. It's just a thing I'm doing right now, just because I don't know. It started over spring break, not shaving, and then I was like, why not?
I like it, Justin. I kept it, so as long as Christy Wyatt,
she's fine
object.
With it. She doesn't love it or hate it. She's very ambivalent right now towards it. So
man, he's busted. Yeah. He's ChatGPT. Yeah, he's using good vocabulary today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, I'm in charge of the game, right?
Okay,
yes,
I'm taking charge. Okay,
taking charge.
So since we're doing this ChatGPT AI,
did you use AI to create this game?
I asked ChatGPT for a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Bible edition.
Oh, great. I'm so bad with trivia.
Okay.
This is going to be embarrassing.
Well, the first one it gave me was super easy. So I said, let's do this a little more advanced. So if I'm
you, what
this
about
for
me?
You got
these pastor
be a team.
People.
Okay. Oh, they're going to be. It's fine. Okay. She doesn't have to know. But they're
so you can, if you need me to eliminate two answers, wrong answers, I will. Or I can give you a helpful hint. Or I can give you a relative scripture reference, relevant scripture. Those are your lifelines, right? So 50-50, hint, scrolls.
I do get to edit this later, so if I totally make a fool of myself.
Scrolls. What was scrolls?
All right, here's your $100 question. You ready? Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Kelly go first, but you can help.
Oh,
I thought we were on a team.
You
we're a
are,
team.
But.
All right. Or not. You tell us. You're
all right,
game.
Kelly,
you tell us.
You talk less, so you are the final answer. So you talk to her, but whatever she says is the final answer.
Okay, sounds
good. That's fair.
Which king of Israel was known for his wisdom? A, Saul, B, David, C, Solomon, D, Rehoboam.
C.
Solomon, yeah.
Final answer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is Solomon. Okay.
There you go.
For $200, what was Paul's profession before full-time ministry? Was he A, a fisherman, B, a carpenter, C, a tent maker, or D, a scribe?
I didn't know this one.
He is a tent maker.
Tent maker.
Always.
I was
going to
say
answer?
He was a persecutor, but I guess that's not
He did. That wasn't his full-time profession.
His full-time profession.
It is C, tent maker. Okay. All right, on to the $300 question.
Okay.
I think there's 15 questions.
Oh, goodness.
Is this going to get worse?
Which book contains the vision of four strange living creatures with faces of a man, lion, ox, and eagle? Is it A, Daniel, B, Ezekiel, C, Revelation, or D, Isaiah? That is
That's
hard.
Tricky.
That is hard because I'm like, I was, those are the four. I mean, it should have been like Job or Samuel to give us a.
So A, Daniel, B, Ezekiel, C, Revelation, D, Isaiah. Remember, you have three lifelines.
Ezekiel saw the wheel. But I feel like, wait, say them choices. Say them
Daniel,
choices again.
Ezekiel, Revelation, Isaiah.
Oh. No, what? There's a four faces.
Which book contains the vision of four strange living creatures with faces of a man, lion, ox, and eagle?
I'm pretty sure, gosh, I feel like it's quoted back in Revelation again, but I'm
But then it's kind of, Daniel's messing me up.
It's, my first thought was Ezekiel, but actually I think it could be Daniel.
My first was Revelation, then it was Daniel. So
all right.
I don't know what to do.
You go with your gut.
No!
Or you can use one of your lifelines
like,
to make it.
A lifeline.
All right.
We just said all of our.
Yeah.
Give us a hint.
Okay.
Make it a good hint.
He also sees dry bones in this
one. Oh, then it's Ezekiel.
Man, we were really off.
I was thinking it was Ezekiel.
Ezekiel is your final answer?
Sure.
Yeah. You're right. Okay, that was an easy hint. Just
yeah,
so
that
you
was
know.
A good thing.
That one was tough.
Ezekiel was my first thought, but you said Isaiah, so I was like,
that was
Isaiah,
beyond
Daniel.
beyond a $300.
That was like a $1,500.
All right, $500 question. In which chapter of Isaiah is the suffering servant prophecy found? Chapter 40, chapter 45, chapter 53, or chapter 61?
53.
Yeah.
It is 53. All right. That would be like a safe place or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you have 500 no matter what.
Cash out.
Something. Okay.
$1,000
question.
We get Bayshore bucks for this.
Which New Testament book quotes a Cretan poet saying, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons? A, Titus. B, 1 Timothy. C, 2 Peter. Or D, Galatians?
What?
I...
Did you know this?
No,
I did know this one. I would have guessed your $300 one right, but I wasn't certain.
Thank you for your transparency to validate our. all right.
Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons.
Was Timothy an option?
It was him again.
Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Peter, Galatians.
Man. It's been a while since I've studied Titus, and so that's kind of my first gut because it's not like ringing a bell for me. So,
go for it then.
So, what's your answer?
Titus.
Titus is right.
Oh,
good job.
Yeah, Titus, I was like the other. I've studied more recently,
it's not fresh
on my mind. So,
yeah. All right. $2,000 question. What is the name of the man who took Jesus's body and laid it in his own tomb? Is it A, Nicodemus, B, Joseph of Arimathea, C, Simon the Zealot, or D, Ananias?
Laid him down in Joseph's tomb.
I just remember the last word. It's like a weird, like,
okay.
Is that like a yes?
Yeah, Joseph.
So what's your answer? B?
B.
Joseph of Arimathea is correct. All right, 4,000.
Look at that. Worship.
Which
learning theology
two Old Testament characters never died but were taken up to heaven? Is it A, Enoch and Elijah, B, Moses and Elijah, C, Enoch and Elisha, D, Elijah and Isaiah?
I just think there's an old Rich Mullins song. When I
Another
go,
song.
I want to go out like Elisha. So I think it's Enoch and it's Elisha, right? Oh, goodness. I always get those two guys confused.
You have two lifelines, 50-50 or
it's
scrolls.
It's Enoch and Elijah.
What'd you say the song was?
But now I'm totally second guessing if it's Elijah or Elisha because my memory of the song lyrics.
I said Joe Mantegna. Yeah. Okay, sorry, that's Waterboy comment.
I don't know.
If I would just go right. Yeah.
You've been pretty good with your gut so far.
So
I think it's Shah.
Is Enoch and Elijah? B is Moses and Elijah. C is Enoch and Elisha. D is Elijah and Isaiah.
I think it's Shah.
You don't want to use a hint? You going for it?
We're going for it.
I don't know now. I feel like I need to use
a hint. So C, Enoch and Elisha?
Yeah.
Or A, Enoch and Elijah?
Is this
so
like
A or C?
Is this a teacher trying to help? Are you sure?
Trying to make sure I know which one you're saying.
Are you sure?
I don't know which one you're saying.
Oh, you don't? Really?
Yeah, A is
C.
C is that your final answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Oh, it's Jah.
It's Enoch Jah? And Elijah. Elijah Chariot.
I know.
Come on, man.
I get those two guys confused.
I would have given you A
going,
and C
just
still.
Keep
yeah,
going.
So,
okay.
I know you would. I know. I we're not going to waste the 50-50 because I know what you're going to do.
Yeah. All right. $8,000 question that doesn't count anymore. How many chapters are in the Book of Lamentations? Is it A3, B4, C5, D6?
It's 5 or 6. I don't know. I know Lamentations 3. That's the – I know there's
that
at least 3.
Do we have a lifeline left even though we're already
– No.
No.
Just no, because we're dead.
Yes. Yeah, we have no lifeline.
5.
Yes.
Oh, way to go.
$16,000. What is the name of the river where the John the Baptist baptized people? Is it A, Nile, B, Tigris, C, Jordan, D, Euphrates?
It's the Jordan.
The Jordan.
So you're fine.
That's like – wait, yes. That's too easy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
$32,000 question. What is the Hebrew word often translated loving kindness or steadfast love? Shalom, ruach, hesed, or shema?
Wait, say those again.
A, shalom, B, ruach, C, hesed, or D, shema?
It's not shalom. It's not. Wait, say those, the last three again.
Ruach, hesed, or shema?
Oh, it's one of those two.
What's the not the actual
B
words,
is ruach?
No.
Oh, loving kindness or steadfast love?
I think it's hesed.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Hebrew was a long
time ago.
C is
your final answer? Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep.
All right.
$64,000 question. Which king discovered the book of the law during temple repairs? Was it A, Manasseh, B, Josiah, C, Hezekiah, or D, Asa?
I know this one. It's Josiah.
Okay. Here's your name.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. He was, 8 years old? Or 18, depending on which first kings or first chronicles.
He was still young.
Yes, he was. What was the name of the high priest who opposed Jesus and oversaw his trial? Was it A, Caiaphas, B, Annas, C, Gamaliel, or D, Herod?
Those all sound very familiar.
Caiaphas, wasn't it?
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Say it again.
Caiaphas, Annas, Gamaliel, Herod.
Oh, wait.
The high priest who opposed Jesus and oversaw his trial.
I was first thinking Caiaphas, but now Herod's messing me up. Because wasn't there a second one?
Mm. Go with Caiaphas.
Caiaphas. Okay. Yeah, Herod was the king.
I'm so Judean bad with governor. Names, y'all. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Annas, I think, was the guy who took over for Caiaphas afterwards. All right, $250,000 question, which doesn't count. Did y'all only get the one wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
we should have gone with Jah.
What chapter in the Bible contains the Hall of Faith, listing many
Hebrews.
Faithful people of the Old Testament?
They're studying it right now.
A,
Hebrews chapter
11. B, Hebrews 11. Is that your final answer?
Yeah, Hebrews 11.
Okay. Only two more questions. Which minor prophet predicted the outpouring of God's Spirit fulfilled at Pentecost? A, Micah. B, Joel. C, Zephaniah. D, Malachi.
Oh, man.
I'm not good with minor prophets.
I'm going back to our series 5 years ago in Summer in the Minors.
It's quoted in Acts chapter 2.
Say the choices again.
A, Micah. B, Joel. C, Zephaniah. D, Malachi.
Oh, I think it's...
What was the prophecy?
The outpouring of God's Spirit fulfilled at Pentecost.
It's Micah or Zephaniah. Maybe not.
I go with Micah.
Joel.
Yeah,
Joel.
Okay. Yeah.
Come on.
Another question. This is easy. Come on. What is the only book of the Bible that does not mention God? A. Esther. B. Song of Songs. C. Ecclesiastes. D. Philemon.
It is.
This is easy.
It's either Esther or Song of Solomon.
It is easy, guys.
I was gonna say Song of Solomon, but
I think it's Esther. Yeah.
Which one?
You gotta pick.
I don't know.
Song of Solomon, trust your gut, or Esther, trust Justin's
gut? Probably
trust
Justin's.
I think it's
he's
Esther.
The one with the doctorate in
the leadership, not in Old Testament studies.
Esther.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hey, we did well. I mean, we
you
missed
did
a
great
we,
job.
We missed a syllable.
Listen,
and then,
I got it very quickly. You guys can decide if you want to cut this off of the. I got to see if you know how y'all crushed the easy one. Y'all got all but one of those. What's the first book of the Bible?
Genesis.
Who built the ark to survive the flood?
Noah.
See, I don't even have to do the... How many days did God take to create the world, including the day he rested?
7.
Who was swallowed by a great fish?
Jonah.
What food did God provide the Israelites in the desert?
Manna.
Is it A, quail and manna, B, bread and wine, C, fish and olives,
quail
or D?
Quail and
manna.
Yeah.
Who betrayed Jesus with a kiss?
Judas.
Which book contains the Ten Commandments?
Exodus.
How many books are in the Bible?
66.
What is the shortest verse in the Bible?
Jesus wept.
who led the Israelites into the Promised Land after Moses? Come on now.
wait, hold on. I got to think about this one. Is it Joshua?
In the parable of the prodigal son, what did the father do when the son returned?
He ran towards him and threw a party.
Okay. Is it A, punished him, B, gave him a robe and a ring, C, ignored him, or D, made him a servant?
Robe and a ring.
How many psalms are in the book of Psalms?
150.
Who interpreted Pharaoh's dreams in Egypt?
Joseph.
Which disciple walked on water with Jesus briefly?
Briefly, Peter.
Which Old Testament prophet had a vision of a valley of dry bones?
That's Ezekiel.
Yeah, that was easy.
Yeah, see, it's the Jah and the Shah. Man, we missed it.
You missed one more later.
Joel, remember that one, man.
I forgot. I'm so bad with names. I'm not kidding you. Bad names and dates, they just...
Yeah,
I forget. I have to restudy the names and dates. I remember the ideas.
It wasn't just me.
I remember the ideas, and I remember the meaning, and I can teach. But the names and dates, I always will have to refresh myself.
I'll always remember the Esther thing because Christy, I didn't have a lot of familiarity with church, and when I started getting really serious about Jesus, and Christy and I were dating shortly after that, and she's telling me the whole story of Esther, and I'm like, that's amazing. And she's like, and God wasn't mentioned. I'm like, no way, get out.
Yeah, I remember that from a trivia thing one
God's
time.
God's name
like,
wasn't mentioned. Yeah. But his fingerprints are all
over. Oh, I like it. The fingerprints are there. Come on. Nice. Come on. That was a terrible high five. We missed a high five. So that was going across my body.
We've got an exciting little Boggy Talk series starting next week, right?
Yeah.
What is it?
Sorry, I forgot.
I forgot it from our notes.
With Drift this past Friday.
Yes.
Yeah,
it will be all about Drift.
Dive.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, no more drifting. We're going to sink. Yeah. All right.
Well, this has been fun, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you back.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.